This person has been chosen by our Lord, the firstborn of all creation. Now, the last messenger today that we will be looking at is the seventh messenger. And I can quote that most Bible students today, most, except Brother Russell, was the final and last messenger during this end time period we are living in today, which is the harvest age. He is pictured as the man with the writer's ink horn, described in Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 2. Let us have a look at this messenger. What he was, what he is, and also what he was not. We know that the first messenger covered the apostolic era. So because this message in the first messenger, we know that he was divinely, or they were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so forth, that message from the first messenger could not and did not include any mistakes, because we know that we are told that the Bible is God's word. But after the apostles had passed away, and the apostle John being the last apostle, this direct leading or direction of the Holy Spirit ceased. The following messengers were not divinely inspired. But what they did have, or did possess, was insight. Insight into the scriptures. And we can also say this according to the last messenger as well, Brother Russell. So Brother Russell was not, and I will repeat, was not divinely inspired. He did make mistakes on quite a few items, but not on our most glorious faith, the main doctrines that we have today as Bible students. His life was just like yours, just like mine. Many times, as imperfect beings, we falter. We do not make the best decisions. His marriage was one large mistake, and he realized that. Also, another mistake he made was letting his wife be the co-author for a time period of articles in the Watchtower was another, and many other minor details and mistakes as well. I wonder how many brethren of us can say we have not made choices in our life that we regret. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in chapter of Romans 7:24, the Apostle Paul says, "Miserable man that I am, who will rescue me from the body undergoing this death?" But let us look at some of the things he revealed to us as this seventh messenger. 1. Babylon the Great. He wasn't the first to recognize the apostate church, but he was the first to have insight to explain the prophecies concerning the casting off, and also the decline and the end of this great Roman or Babylonian system. And also the meaning of the Lord's direction was to come out of her, my people. So although other people realized what Babylon was, he was the first to instruct to come out of her, my people. He carries us back to the wilderness condition of the church, the 1,260 years. Also, he had insight into the development of the great man of sin. He explained the chronology of Daniel, which showed the time, times, and half a time during which the true church would have to live spiritually apart from the apostate doctrines of this false church, and in Revelation we know she's referred to as the great harlot. Brother Russell realized the hunger of the John class, so he explained to us the symbols of prophecy, or how to use prophecy, so that we could understand what had happened to the church during its history. He showed us how to interpret symbols so we could understand the things to come. He taught us how to study, topical study. by taking these symbols used in the Bible and applying them to prophetic passages to make sense of them. He explained to us Revelation chapter 7. Who made up the church class? Who are the 144,000? Who are the great multitude? And by so doing this, we are able to understand how Christ would bless all the families of the earth. And we were able to discern the purpose of our calling. He taught us that this new government on earth would be led and taught by Jesus and his bride. And the list goes on. Has anyone else in our church history since the passing of the apostles done this to the extent that he did? I don't think so. Let us look at some of the things he did to proclaim this good news of the kingdom. Firstly, I would like to quote from this book that I told you about, Charles Taze Russell, His Life and Times, written by Frederick Zidek. And as I pointed out, what was so remarkable about this, that he is not a Bible student, not a Jehovah's Witness, but a researcher. And he looks at Brother Russell's life, and he looks at it at a factual and in unbiased way. And I quote from him, he says, "There was a time in America and England as well when Charles Taze Russell's name was known in almost every household in much the same way as Billy Graham was today. Everyone knew who he was. His articles appeared in hundreds of newspapers across the country. His lecture tours took him to the nation's largest cities and also sometimes to the most humblest little rural towns. In fact, so popular was he that at one point during his life, 4,000 newspaper and magazines carried his sermons, reaching how many? Between 15 to 20 million readers worldwide on a weekly basis. At the time of Brother Russell's death, it is estimated that 964,000 copies of the Divine Plan of the Ages were in print. An incredible human, could we say? Or was it divine help, an inspiration that had helped him to achieve? And I don't think that what he achieved, many or others have been able to copy that or have ever matched it. At the same time, his personal mail from all over the world was between 800 to 1,000 pieces of mail a day. So at a modest speculation, brethren, he was receiving at least 292,000 letters a year. As an individual, he couldn't answer all of those, but he tried to answer as many as he could. The rest were answered by an editorial staff at the Bethel headquarters. During all of his life, he told brethren not to revere himself. He was a man, just a man, working with divine insight. Now, I'd like to bring attention to what we believe was his greatest achievement. The man with the writer's inkhorn. The photodrama of creation. This was not only the first full-length motion picture to be made in America, but also was the first ever to have colour and sound, totalling 8 hours, 4 sessions by 2 hours each. It stands as a testimony to an experience in film and sound the world was not to see again for many, many years. It was a massive undertaking that consumed 2 full years of production work before it was ready to be shown. In fact, it was such an undertaking that it nearly drained the financial resources of both the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society and Brother Russell's personal investments. It consisted of 4 main sections. 1, the beginning of creation to Abraham. 2, Israel's exodus from Egypt to Elijah. Section 3, Daniel to the life of Christ, and section 4, Pentecost, and including the present time that we're living in today up to the millennium. So after 2 years, this film is finished at a cost of what? Well, in those days, American, $200,000. What is that in today's value, in American dollars? Approximately, brethren, $3 million American. Some have even said between $3.5 to $4 million. Just imagine, brethren, what I would like you to do now is to take a journey back in time. You are one of the first to see it. It's on its opening night in the city of New York. Hundreds have already been turned away. You are among the audience, 5,000 crammed into a theatre called the Temple Theatre. Before you is a large motion picture screen. Suddenly, the lights start to dim. There's silence. The film begins. Suddenly, the face of Charles Taze Russell appears on the screen. Marvel of all marvels for that time, his lips start to move. You are astonished, because what do you see? Or what do you hear? You can hear him speaking. You can hear what he is saying. Yes, brethren, just imagine your surprise. This film was some 13 years before colour arrives in a feature-length film. It was not until the year 1927 before both colour and sound are available in commercial theatres. Was that coming up, Ray, or... There seems to be a little bit of a problem there. I'll keep going while Ray's getting that. But this is what you would have seen on the opening night. But I don't think they had that much trouble when it came on the screen. They didn't have computers then, and so they didn't freeze. So sometimes the old technology is the best. Now, this film was actually restored by the Brethren in America, the whole photodrama of creation. Well, Brother Ray, if there is a problem, you can hold it there if you can't get it, because I think it does give the brethren an idea. Because in those days, as I said, you would have gone to a movie and you would have had the piano playing. I don't think there's too many. I don't think there'd probably be anyone in the audience that still remembers those events. I certainly don't. And... But you all knew, you've all seen the old movies, and that's what happened. But the great surprise to the audience was the lips moving and sound coming. Now, on its trip around the world, the photodrama of creation reaches the shores of Australia during the war years of 1915, in the month of October. And even though this is during the First World War, it has no effects on the crowds wanting to see it. They still line up for hours in the morning to ensure that they get a seat and are not turned away. The film is so successful that by the year 1915, the end, December, Brother Russell is able to announce that an estimated 9 million people across 3 continents have seen the film, including 1,222,650 in Great Britain. Now comes the real test. Yes, the film is very popular, but the cost of production and distribution all but bankrupts or exhausts the financial resources of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. As I mentioned earlier on, they had to bring this announcement out. We are no longer able to proffer assistance beyond, one, the lecturers, the music, the picture operator, free posters, window cards, publicity aids, and free attendance. You know, $40,000 worth of blank paper was used in the advertisement of this film. So, $40,000 including blank paper, the printing, folding, bundling and freight. and that even costs more. Brother Russell is under pressure from some of the brethren that they should charge a fee. It was pointed out that this was an 8-hour film, But Brother Russell was adamant, and he holds firm to his belief that the film, like all of his public talks and all the meetings that the Bible students hold, should be free of cost. Let the Lord's, or at least the Lord's poor, feel inhibited to attend. For those who want to, there is a small contribution box at the back of the hall, discreetly placed near the exit of each venue. There is a book table also set up to provide literature at a modest cost. This, our dear brother, was following the advice given by our Lord in Matthew 10:8-9, which says, "Cure the sick, raise up the dead, make lepers clean, expel demons. You received free, give free. Do not acquire gold or silver for your money belts." We must remember at this time, brethren, that this film is being shown during the war years. And what was the stand taken by the Bible students and Brother Russell at this time? What was their reasoning, or how did they look at the war effort? Well, again, I quote from my source in this book, when our worthy President of the USA and also His Holiness the Pope requested Christian people to pray for God for the cessation of the European war, we declared that this prayer was not in harmony with the divine arrangement and would not be answered. We as Bible students pointed out that according to the scriptures, the 2,520 years of Gentile domination ended in September 1914, and that the war is the one that was predicted in the scriptures. Did this quote affect the popularity of the photo drama of creation? No. In fact, everywhere this film is shown, prejudice against the Bible student movement lessens or drops away. In fact, many Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian and other mainline ministers of the churches encourage their flocks to go and see the film. In fact, many of them offered invitations to Brother Russell to come to their pulpits and explain the complicated and technical details that were used to produce a film of this complexity in the time period that they were living in. Brethren, does this not remind you of the scripture in 2 Timothy 4:2 and Romans 10:14? So in Timothy 4:2, I'd like to read that scripture, and it is quite an interesting scripture and applies to the period that we're talking about. And that's 2 Timothy verses 4 to 2. It's a well-known scripture. "Preach the word, be at it urgently in favourable times and difficult times. Reprove, reprimand, exhort with all patience and art of teaching." And then in Romans 10:14... if you'd like to turn there with me, that's Romans chapter 10, verse 14. "However, how will they call on him if they have not put faith in him? How in turn will they put faith in him about whom they have not heard? How in turn will they hear without someone to preach?" Certainly, Brother Russell fulfilled those two scriptures, and we as Bible students should be following this scriptural admonition as well. Now, going back to the film, funds are drying up during this war period that's raging, as well as the expenses incurred in the photodrama of creation. So drastic measures had to be taken. A great many workers are laid off from the Brooklyn headquarters. Now, these cuts are across the board, including staff in the following areas: in the mailroom, bookbinding, printing plant, kitchen, housekeeping, distribution, and even in the writing room as well. Also, to further offset costs and the drops in donations during these war years, pilgrim services are cut back. Conventions also are reduced. So during these dark days, while the nations are fighting a war of unprecedented carnage and patriotism is at an all-time high in the USA, what stand do the Bible students and Brother Russell advocate? His, like most of all the other major religious groups, what were they advising their flocks to do? They were advising their flocks, the major religions, to fight for God and country. What was Brother Russell and the Bible students saying? No, they advised us to follow in the footsteps of Christ, who was no part of the world, was completely neutral to politics, did not advocate violence in any shape or form against our fellow man. This stance was taken by the Bible students. This is an example of the Christians in the first and second century. There is no historical record of any Christians in the first and second century fighting for the Roman armies or for any country that they belong to. That is the stance they took. They refused to serve in any armed forces of the Roman army or the countries that they were citizens of. So the advice Brother Russell gives is that true Christians must maintain their loyalty to the Prince of Peace. Participation in the war effort is tantamount to waging war against God himself. I would like to quote the historian Alan Crider from his book, Military Service, page 431. He says, "No Christian theologian before Constantine justified Christian participation in warfare." So his critics are therefore very eager to brand Brother Russell and the Bible students who practice conscientious objection as unpatriotic. But again, due to the popularity and growing praise for this film, The Photodrama of Creation, it drowns out the voice of the critics. Thus, by trusting in the Lord and leaving him to guide, as in all matters, this starts to show results. Overnight, finances start to improve, and also the circulation of the Watchtower and Herald of Christ's presence by 1915 has increased to a subscription of list of excess of 55,000. Yes, in following the advice given by Jesus in Matthew 6:33, "Keep on men seeking first the kingdom, and all these other things will be added to you." In these troubled times, that's exactly what Brother Russell and the Bible students did. Another fact that no one, or not many people, know today is that the success of the Photodrama of Creation and the Bible students, and also Brother Russell leading them, this was noticed by savvy people, money managers in the money market, Wall Street. So highly regarded was he for turning the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society from the red during the Photodrama of Creation into the black. He was invited by the Committee of Investors of the Stock Exchange to meet with them once a week for 1 hour. And what did they offer him? This is not an exaggeration, it's in history. $2,000 an hour they wanted to pay Brother Russell to come and advise them how to make money. What is that in today's figures? $48,000 an hour. What an offer. What would you do? He declines. Why? Because he is in favour of one thing only, focusing on the Lord's work, especially the divine plan of the ages. Keep on seeking first the kingdom. We noted earlier that Brother Russell was the first to use sound and colour in a full-length film. Also remarkable is the fact that he also probably holds the distinction of being the first to use the new audio recordings, or what we call the older records. Not these cylinders, but the first records. He was the first to use records for the preaching work. That was to make sure that brethren in small country areas that had no money, that had never heard him speak and couldn't get to conventions, they were able to listen to that on records. A company was set up, and in research we found out it was called the Angelico Phonograph Company, and it was set up by Bible students in America to help with the distribution of the preaching work. A well-known baritone at that time, he was called Professor Henry Burr, and he was used to also record 50 hymns. So ecclesia that didn't have pianos or music, they were able to have the songs then at their hall to sing along to. And there was also, on the back side, 50 short lectures from Brother Russell, so that in these areas where they couldn't meet with Bible students and had never been to a convention, they were able to hear small talks. Now, during his lifetime, Brother Russell, and we don't skite about this, this is not what we've found out, but the author tells us that he wrote more books, articles and essays on spiritual matters, according to the author, than the Apostle Paul, Arius, Waldo, Wycliffe and Martin Luther combined. But I would like to stress to you, brethren, or to clarify, this quote from the author: while he might have written more than the Apostle Paul, we know that the Apostle Paul's writings were divinely inspired. Brother Russell's were not. They were informed. Brethren, the time is now fast approaching 1916, and although the world is still at war, and this is causing problems all over the globe, things are starting to go well for the Bible students. And at the time of 1916, around 4.5 million copies of Brother Russell's books are in circulation. On October the 11th, 1916, unfortunately, he gives his last address to the New York Ecclesia. They will hear him no more. He passes this side of the veil in an area near Texas called Pampa, on the railway tracks in a railway car, 2:30 Tuesday afternoon, October the 31st. And from Iceland to Australia, Argentina to Alaska, hardly a newspaper, large or small, fails to take notice of the passing of America's most celebrated and also controversial religious leader. Most mention his now famous 6 volumes of the Studies in the Scriptures and his production of the cinematic wonder, the Photodrama of Creation. His death is reported with dignity. Our dear brother Charles Russell leaves behind a legacy of spiritual values and ideas that have travelled from Allegheny, Pennsylvania to every corner of the planet. At the time of his death, his books have been translated into every major language on earth, and the Watchtower boasts nearly 100,000 subscribers. He travelled more than 1 million miles delivering discourses and lectures. But don't forget, there was no jets, no cars. All of this was either done by steam, train, or by steamer or ship. He preached an estimated total of 30,000 sermons and wrote over 50,000 pages. Let us read Matthew 24:45 together. That's Matthew 24:45. Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the one of these least ones, you did it not to me. And then also, sorry, that's the wrong scripture. I didn't think it made sense. Sorry about that, Reverend. That's Matthew 24:45. Who really is a faithful and discreet slave, whom his master appointed over his domestics to give him their food at the proper time? And Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will appoint you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Brethren, friends, I leave it to you to decide. Was Brother Russell this man? Was he the Laodicean messenger of Revelation? For my part, I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt. God bless.